I'm joined today by Liam Horne, a careers consultant with Schlienua Careers and based in Ballinrobe, County Mayo. Liam, thank you for joining us today.
You're very welcome, Tommy.
Well, Liam, with all of the positive news that's happening locally in our county over the last week or so, I thought it might be appropriate to speak with someone involved in careers and knowing what's going on out there. Aragon announcing 450 jobs, or the potential 450 jobs, 200 direct and 250 indirect. One would have to imagine that that's going to have a positive impact on, well, on the whole community, but in particular on businesses around Westport and around the outlying areas. Would this have an impact for people who are hoping to get back into the job sphere and put the best foot forward with their career again?
Well, I think it has a huge impact, Tommy, in that apart from the direct and indirect jobs that you've listed there, it also boosts sentiment and people feel that something might be about to turn. And, you know, if you characterise the Celtic Tiger era as one of maybe exaggerated sentiment, maybe the downturn we've been going through is one also of exaggerated sentiment, and that this will help to give people a boost as well and feel that maybe there is something to aim for. And that's the reaction we've been getting in our business the last few days as well, that all of a sudden people see something happening and maybe more happening beyond that. And what's really reassuring for people in this case is that this is not 200 jobs coming in from a company that nobody knows. This is one of the most respected employers in the country who have a great record of doing what they say they will do, of treating people very well, and who have been, you know, in Westport for so many years now and have played such a crucial role. So I think it's a very timely boost at the start of the year when people are more disposed towards being positive about the future as well. So hopefully, you know, it's not going to lift the economy out of its recession, but it's something. And, you know, I always think that people need to be very kind of careful when they talk about recession. All any man or woman needs is one job. And, you know, the fact that there are people not in jobs here, there and everywhere doesn't preclude you from getting a job, perhaps. So to keep focus on the one job you're looking for and to realise that's all you need. And I think because Aragon is such a well-regarded employer in a relatively small town like Westport, a relatively small region like West Mayo, it'll have a huge impact.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, we know that they have approximately 800 employees at the moment, and with that 200, it's going to put it over 1,000 people being employed by the one business, which is, you know, let us remember, very much an international business. So it's not dependent just on, you know, the Westport area. It is an international business, and Botox being the big addition into its range of products recently. Having over 1,000 employees going into the future then, that will potentially, I presume, create opportunities for people who are thinking of putting on the hat of being self-employed as well, Liam.
It is, and before we move on to that, I suppose the other key thing about Aragon is, and you know, Aragon's primary market is always an export market, and it just shows you that being based in the west of Ireland does not stop you from being an exporting giant. And for coming to the self-employed level, I think one of the big lessons of the last few years and one of the messages that self-employed people are getting is to look at export markets, to look at the potential beyond just your own town or your own part of the world. And I think that, as we've seen in recent figures published, and I think some more figures have been published the last couple of days as well, export really is something businesses in this part of the world need to think about. A lot of the barriers that once existed to exporting have now been removed in terms of enhanced broadband connectivity, in terms of just the overall communications infrastructure improvement, which allows you to communicate with all parts of the world. So, you know, it's something that maybe Aragon, apart from the jobs they'll create directly and indirectly, may also inspire a growth and enhancement of the export culture in our part of the world.
Yeah, and hopefully it does. And, you know, another recent national report, which would be, I suppose, close to the hearts of those in the west of Ireland, is the Board BIA came out there with an announcement that they had a 12% increase in food and drink exports in the year of 2011, which is no mean feat. It brought it up to 8.85 billion euros, what they were exporting from the country. And I imagine that there's a lot of small businesses out in the west of Ireland that would be taking note of that. And as you say, being aware of the potentiality for exporting all kinds of products from the west and from Ireland itself.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes every good that gets exported from somewhere, and it has to happen somewhere. So there is no ideal location or no only location for exporting. And I remember reading a study some years ago which looked at some of the top 500 companies in America. This is about 6 or 7 years ago, and it was staggering the numbers the number of top American companies who did not export, and for whom export actually was an option, and who went on to become exporters when prompted by one particular company who spotted the opportunity to do this. So, you know, maybe we became complacent in the good times, so we didn't look beyond the obvious markets and didn't see potential. I mean, you know, from Westport to Manchester, for example, or Liverpool, never mind London alone, you know, that whole greater Manchester area, which is a greater population than all of Ireland, that's not so far away. And people, and there's a growing awareness as well, and a lot more support in terms of expertise now available if you want to export in your, with your company, because I know it's something we're looking at in our company as well, and it's very, very doable if you, if you're prepared to throw your horizons a bit broader.
Yeah, well, bringing it back then to Allegan themselves, and thinking about, as you said earlier on, one job for one man or one woman. We don't know exactly yet. We haven't got definitive information on what kind of jobs would be created, and I imagine we'll be getting more information over the coming months and years in relation to that. But I suppose, generally speaking, how do people now start looking? They've got this positive information. They've got the positive energy coming through the business psyche and the community psyche of the West with all of this good information coming out. How do they now position themselves to take advantage of the probability of good jobs coming up on their doorstep?
Well, I think the first step people must do to take advantage is to take responsibility and to say that I will be responsible for my own job hunting. I will avail of whatever agencies are there, whatever supports are there, but I will be the one to drive it on. There is a danger in time of recession as people start you know, accessing all our agencies, that they become dependent on being directed around the place and move from A to B to C as they're told, whereas the job hunter of today and the future must take responsibility for winkling out whatever little thing they need to winkle out to make their chances better. To run through it quickly in concrete terms, you must have a good CV. I've said this before in your program. The vast majority of CVs that go out and that arrive on the desks of companies are poorly prepared. And it's not uncommon to see very good candidates send out very bad CVs. It's equally not uncommon to see bad candidates send out good CVs, but it's a terrible thing if your CV stops you getting something that you might be very well fit to do. So I would say, of course, obviously get professional assistance, but if not, if you don't go down the road of getting professional assistance, certainly go to somebody who knows a bit about this. Don't just presume that by throwing it together yourself, it'll be good enough. You will be competing for the Allegan jobs in particular, but for every job now, anywhere in Ireland and indeed abroad, with lots of good candidates. So position yourself properly with a good CV. About two pages, catch attention early on. A CV test people should do is check their existing CV, fold the front page in half, and look at the top, what's over the fold, we'll say. Look at the top half of the front page. And if that's not catching the attention of the employer with skills you have relative to the company, attributes, achievements, ambitions, aspirations, qualities, whatever words you want to call them, if that's not on the first half of the first page, you're running the risk of the employer not even reading beyond your far too widely spaced out contact details and phone numbers and that kind of stuff.
So if I can jump in there for a minute, Liam, are you suggesting then a departure from the old traditional style of the name, address, phone number and all of your contact details on the top half of the first page?
No, what I'm saying is that your name, address and all that stuff can go into two lines at the very top.
All right.
For example, you don't need the words curriculum vitae, just put your own name there at 18-point print perhaps, and underneath that in one or maybe two lines more, gather in all your contact details. You don't need to put in address, number 2, Hawthorne Place, Westport, because number 2, Hawthorne Place, Westport suggests that itself. So you can take lots of words out. You don't need to put the word address in, don't need to put the word email in, just the letter E will do. Things like that, tighten up your contact detail, because that's only reference information. And get to something like, very early on, a personal profile, a few lines outlining the kind of person you are, the experience you have, and the values or the contribution you can bring to the company in question here. And think about what the company are looking for. Having done that personal profile, I would recommend creating something like key achievements and attributes, where in 4 or 5 bullet points you outline some more achievements and attributes that you have, again bearing in mind what they're looking for. So in Allegan's case, for example, if you're going for a job on the line in Allegan, your early part of your CV should highlight your ability to carry out routine tasks to a high level of to a high standard, your attention to detail, If you've previously worked in a clean room environment, for example, that might be something that would attract Allergan as well. If you've trained, as some lots of people in Mayo now have, in working in the medical devices or pharmaceutical industries, that kind of thing. Anything like that you have that is relevant to what Allergan are looking for, put that in there early and catch their attention early. And write your CV, which was getting at there about the fold earlier on, write your CV on the presumption that the employer will not read beyond the first half of the first page, and treat it as a bonus if they do. Now, I'm not saying that they do or don't. Many of them do skim over them, but that's the kind of impact you should be getting early on. If they only read the top half of the front page, would they be invited, would they be encouraged to invite me in for interview?
So you wouldn't be a promoter then of the 15-page CV, Liam?
No, I wouldn't at all. And I wouldn't be a promoter of the Law Brass Sauru Vian approach either that we learned in school. Anything to do with communicating with the public, generally the onus is on you to go for early impact rather than building up to a crescendo later on. And I see lots of CVs where people have left the very best stuff on the bottom of the second page or the top of the third page. And the unfortunate thing is the employer may not get there. And that's a concrete example of a good candidate perhaps leaving good stuff until the second or third page. It's a bit like going to court to fight a case. And if you leave your best witness at home, and then you come home scratching your head wondering how come I didn't win the case.
Right. Well, it may seem like a pedestrian kind of a question, but see what you'll do with it. How do the potential candidates learn about job opportunities?
Well, there are lots of ways. I mean, the local papers, the Mayo News, the Telegraph, the Advertiser, the Western People would all carry job ads. You want to keep an eye on that all the time, and have your friends told to keep an eye out as well in case you happen to miss something. Midwest Radio carried job ads. I'm not sure if your radio station are carrying job ads or not yet, may well be doing so. There are lots of recruitment companies. There's a recruitment company in Castlebar called Archon Recruitment. There are lots of recruitment companies in Galway City. Collins McNicholas are in Galway and Sligo. So you register on there. They've got, most of them have got these job alerts that will send you an email if something in your chosen field happens to come up. They're key ways. So, you know...
What about, Liam, what about cold calling? Like, should people now, because they hear of this development in Allergan, would it be advisable for them to appear up in Allergan or to send in the post a CV? Or is that advisable or not? Should they wait for the jobs to be advertised?
I don't think they should do it now, because I think it's unlikely Allergan will have a system in place to gather CVs before they're needed, if you know what I mean.
Right.
They know, if you look at this from Allergan's viewpoint, and whenever you're chasing jobs, look always from the employer's viewpoint. Allergan at some point in the future, hopefully during this coming year, will say, we now need to get 200 people. And they know once they put that ad out there, they will get hundreds and possibly thousands of applications. So they don't really need or don't really want CVs coming in advance of that for those jobs. So be ready for when the day comes and go for it then, and make sure that you have your CV in order, your cover letter in order, and that if you're on LinkedIn, if you feel that's an important area to be on, that whatever your various online profiles are, if you're looking for a job that might be supported by that, make sure you're totally tuned in that way. But what I also say is, don't just wait for Allergan. Be applying for jobs all the time. Be on the job trail all the time, getting to interviews, failing at interviews. As David Norris says, fail and fail better the next time. Get yourself tuned into it. I have seen people chase one job for 3 months and then even do well at the interview and decide they won't chase anything else, and then get disappointed at the end of the third month that the job didn't come for them, and they've put all their eggs in one basket. When it comes to job seeking, spread your bet and be after jobs all the time.
Well, Liam Horne, careers consultant with Schlienua Careers, thank you for joining us. If I can pull out one little sentence you said there, it was, be ready for when the day comes. It sounds like a very positive and appropriate approach. Have you any other little nuggets to leave our potential job searchers with?
I suppose there's a very negative media commentary right now, and I know you're trying to defeat that there today, and generally on Saturday mornings here you do that.
Thank you.
The world does not owe you a living. The responsibility is on you to get that job. And believing that just because 1,000 jobs are let go in Waterford or Cork next week, and using that as an excuse or a reason or whatever the polite way of saying it is, and I'm not overly interested in saying the polite way, to be quite honest, using that to justify inaction on your part, or to create this sort of "actually, there's nothing out there for me" attitude. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of examples of people who have got jobs of late and have flourished of late. I saw a headline in the Western People just this week, and I can't recall it. Ireland West Regional Airport, who announced a record year.
That's right.
And on top of that was Allegheny 200 jobs.
Yeah.
So you can look at the media and say, okay, things are bad, and things are bad. I'm not trying to say they're not bad per se, but you've got to find your opportunity. And if you're going to go around telling people why it can't happen, as Henry Ford said, the man who said it can't be done and the man who said it can be done, both are right.
Yeah, well, I suppose in a kind of a semi-positive thing also, there was another story in the West this week, that the McDonald's in controversy, which, you know, by the planning authorities has been turned down, but I don't think we've heard the last of that story either. And that was another potential 80 direct jobs with another 80 indirect.
Yeah.
If I could just
develop on that, Tommy, one way. When the recession sort of officially arrived on our shores, Just one example I saw of how determination and grit can overcome so much. A number of musical societies around Ireland found it hard to stage their annual show, and they cited difficulty getting funding and, you know, all this kind of thing. Ballard Musical Society, which happens in my hometown, decided to stage their biggest ever show, which was a world amateur premiere, for the most number of nights, costing the most amount of money, with their biggest ever cast, with their most heavily designed set ever, with our biggest gathering of international celebrities attending the show, all in what was described to other people as the worst possible year to do a show. And yes, they ended up with record figures and record. They did 10 nights on the trot and sold the place out from night 1 to night 10. And that's because somebody there decided, no, we're not going to just believe the negative commentary and said that we'll all shrink back into our shells and take our beating.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I think that was the Pirate Queen, was it?
That was the Pirate Queen, a woman close to your own heart and your own...
Yes,
your own
and you're getting ready now to stage, is it Beauty and the Beast coming up next month?
Beauty and the Beast coming up next month, and that would be another huge event. And then Banrobe went on to stage another premiere as well, or a second ever staging of a show since that. And, you know, and there are other, I mean, Westport Drama Group does great things.
That's right.
Are you telling me the Westport Drama Group doesn't do as good a show because of the recession? You know, there's people who want to get things done, and those who don't tend to find reasons why it can't be done. And they're right as well. They can't be done if they believe it can't. And I don't like coming over.